All right, well, good evening. Sorry to hear everybody has had challenges with the snow. You have no idea the challenges we have. We had 48 inches of sunshine again today for like the fourth, fifth day in a row. Okay, bad joke, sorry. But, you know, you have a choice of where you live, and so do I, and we chose sunshine versus tonight's study is actually one that I did on Sunday, and Barney indicated that he was going to possibly be delayed, and so I volunteered to jump in as long as it was okay to do the same thing that I did on Sunday. So for those of you who have just tuned in and were on Sunday as well, either it's a repeat for you and you like replays, or now would be a good time to tune back out again because it's just going to be the same thing that you heard. If you like leftovers, great. And I posted my email up there. If you want a copy of the study, you can email me, and I will give that to you after we finish tonight. But the purpose of this study, let me start there, is what Paul said was his ministry, which was to make all men see history. And my question is for each of you, how well do you know the mystery that you'd be able to talk to somebody if someone asked you a question? And so I say this all the time, but no matter how well-studied you are, how often you spend in the Word, and how much you know, how much Greek you know, how much Hebrew you know, whatever the case is, the question is always, can you get better? And baseball players are out here right now, spring training in Arizona, again, because it's not snowing and it is sunshine. So if they're out here practicing and they're professionals and they get paid lots and lots and lots and lots of money, shouldn't we follow that example and make sure that on a regular basis we revisit the subjects that we say are truth and that we know well, but again, can we always just tune it up a little bit? So for those of you who have stuck with me so far, there is a handout, as I said. I will only get through about the first 8 or 9 pages of this, and I will be finishing this on Sunday here in Phoenix, if you're going to dial in on Pal Talk at that time. But the question that was asked of me recently had to do with, you know, not only what is the mystery, but why is it not clear? And so that's where I'm going to start. But before we do, let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come to you, bow before you, and have you give us your Holy Spirit to understand your word. And it is not for everyone to understand, but we are grateful that we've been chosen and that we've been given a mind, Christ, that we can see the things that he wants us to see and hear those things that he wants us to hear, and that we might therefore understand. And having understood, we might act accordingly. So, Lord, we are just grateful for those who are listening. Love to all the saints, Lord. We just are grateful that you continually bless us with their friendship. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, a couple of questions, as I said. One is, what is the mystery or the secret? Two, who was it revealed to? Three, when was it revealed? And four, why does God have secrets in the first place? And why doesn't he make it clear so all men can see? And the point that was made to me when this subject came up was, you know, the Lord made it very clear when he was asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, love thy God. And he said, and love thy neighbor as you would love yourself. Well, that's pretty clear cut. He said, so why is the mystery so difficult to one understand, and why don't more people get it? So that's where I want to start. And my answer to the question is, why does God have secrets? If you know the word, then and you've studied the word, then most of this will be somewhat easy for you to understand. For those who don't spend a lot of time in the word, sometimes it can be very confusing. In fact, there is a verse in the Bible that said there is no God. If you will turn to Psalms 53:1, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. So if you take this out of context, the Bible does in fact say there is no God. And if we don't look at the full context, we will never understand what God is trying to tell to us. You can make a doctrine out of just that, there is no God. But if you read the rest of it, one, it has to do with a fool, and two, corruption. And so if you don't want to be associated with those two extremes, then you'll recognize that you have to take this all in context. And so understanding that who it was written to was written, why it was written, what figures of speech are being used, etc., that helps us better understand. So you really have to use what we call right division, 2 Timothy 2:15, to better understand it. And another, just an analogy, you know that I coach high school football, etc. And in football, not everybody on the field knows the play. You have two teams. One team is signaling their team on what play they should run. And that's kind of like God and his purpose. There is a team that he is working with, and he lets them know what it is that he wants them to do. It means that there are times when we're going to have different personnel packages on the field, and therefore maybe someone that is spearheading the play is going to be used on the play and somebody that is not. And a lot of that has to do with different circumstances, like down and yardage. Well, in life and in the 5,000 years or so that we have the Bible that is tells the story of 5,000 years, we know that God cannot lie. And in that we know that he cannot lie, why is it then that there is a difference in what God tells Adam in Genesis 1:29, Noah in chapter 9, verse 1? In one place he says, you know, that all of every tree of the garden is meat for you. But then he tells Noah that he's allowed to eat flesh. Why? Well, circumstances changed. At the time of Noah, there was a difference in everything because of the firmament that came down and flooded the world, the waters from that welled up from the foundation of the world, and as a result, this great catastrophic flood. And now there was need for meat, and not just the fruit and the vegetables, etc. As we think about things that change, Paul talks about abstaining from marriage in 1 Corinthians 1:8, and then again in 1 Timothy 5:14, he says it's okay that younger women marry. Why? Well, things change. Circumstances change. You know, God had told Israel that there would be tribulation, and that in tribulation, it would be very difficult if you were married or if you were especially pregnant, etc. And so Paul later on says, you know what, that's not going to happen anytime soon, so you know what, it's okay. So times change, the administration changes, the stewardship changes, and therefore if you don't look closely at what's being said, you're never going to understand what the word and specifically what God is trying to tell us. So in Matthew 13:11, the Lord tells his disciples, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So his own disciples, he said, look, not everybody's going to get this. He goes on in chapter 13, verse 35, to say that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret And notice that it's from the foundation of the world. Now, this is an important point that it is from the time began, that we count time began, Genesis 1:1-2, at the creation, or some of us believe it was a recreation. We believe that because he said he created the earth, but then he says it was darkness and void. So something happened, and then in verse 2 he goes on to talk about what else happened in terms of creation. So that's a whole other story. But it says it's from the foundation, which means that from what we know time began at prior to Christ's coming, prior to Abraham, but back before Adam and Eve, when we count from time there, that is the foundation of the world. The foundation, look at that word in the Greek. It's an interesting word. It's kataboli. It has to do with the casting down. And again, another study, but the key is that this is from the foundation of the world. So secrets were kept from all of the prophets and everyone else. And so as you look at these secrets, let's ask the question, you know, why? Well, as I said, in football, there's things that you want to keep secret from the others. You don't want the competition to know what you're doing. And if, however, watch film of another team over and over and over, I'm going to pick up what their tendencies are, and I'm going to better understand what's going to happen when I start seeing it on the field. And we're in a similar situation with the Lord, where there are certain things that are said in Scripture, certain words that are used that should be a clue to us that, oh, wait, something's changed, something's different, and we should always be looking for that. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, this is talking about Christ and his disciples, and it says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." And if you continue to read this, and I'm not going to take the time to do it, all the way through verse 18, he says, you know, seeds were sowed, it fell by the wayside, followed the air, came and devoured it up, verse 4. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground, because it had no depth. When the sun came out, it was scorched. Some fell among thorns and choked it and had no fruit. Some fell on good ground and provided an increase. Verse 9, he says, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, this phrase is repeated many, many times because it was said by Isaiah back in the Old Testament. But the Lord uses it again to say, look, you know, you got two ears. Use them to listen to what's being said. Too often we're so focused on our own agenda that we're not really listening, and we need to do so. The Pharisees did not listen to what Christ was telling them. Many of the people didn't either. Verse 10, when he was alone, they were that with him of the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of them that are without. All these things are done in parables." Now, this mystery of the kingdom of God is different than the mystery that Paul talks about, and I'll prove that as we go forward, and you'll see the differences. He says, "Seeing that you shall see, perceiving and hearing, that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And they said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables?" I'm sorry, "and he said to them." And so then he goes on to tell them what it really means. He talks about Satan coming and taking away the seed, about some that's thrown on stony ground, that it has no root, and there's a lot of Christians that are that way, so that when affliction and persecution arises, they're offended and they go away. The thorns are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I'm paraphrasing as we go through all these verses, obviously. He talks then in verse 20 about the good ground, and such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, 40, I'm sorry, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And then he goes on to say, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not set on a candlestick? No, it is to be put out so that light can, everybody can see it. And then he repeats himself, verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So the point of this is that not everybody's going to understand. That even the Lord had 12 disciples and they didn't get it. Now think about that. Think about the fact that if you were with the Lord, what would your understanding of the word be? Wouldn't it be incredible? Because you saw everything first. Well, even though they saw it firsthand, they did not understand. They were looking for something in their own agenda about a Messiah coming that would be this great warrior and conqueror and end all of the oppression that they were under. And he wasn't. He came humble. He came to save, not to condemn. So it's if you have no agenda, it's easier to understand. So my question to you is, are you on good ground and are you growing and are you producing fruit? And if not, why not? And what needs to be done? What truth do you need to understand so that you can be better off? But there's a lot of people that just don't care. They want to be fed milk. They go to church. They're good people. At least twice on Sundays, the rest of the week may be questionable. And, you know, by the way, I put myself in that boat too, because there are times when I'm probably not as much fun to be around, especially when I'm behind the wheel of a car. But note again here that it was kept secret from the foundation of the world. Again, in Romans, if you go to Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, is since and from the same? Yes. So it's since time began or since Genesis or the time began, they both mean the same thing. And they have a starting point, and we're somewhere past that. So some secrets are based on timing. Others are hidden or just hard to understand. In fact, Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians, by the way, I'm sorry my notes don't point that out. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, understand that as Paul is talking here, he talks about this hidden wisdom. This is not the mystery that he talks about later on. And it's interesting that he talks about the princes of the world. You know, those were the Jewish leaders who saw the miracles that the Lord did, but because of their own agenda, would not accept that he was the Messiah. I don't know if you've been watching the Bible on television recently. It's good. It's not really accurate in terms of the word. There are some things that, you know, they leave out, obviously, because of timing. But I think that there are some things that they use there. Entertainment license, if you will, to be able to fudge a little bit on. But even there, they show Caiaphas, who's the high priest who condemns the Lord, but it didn't even show him getting a trial, basically. It's just him. So the princes of the world, the rulers of the world, did not see who Christ really was. They did not understand. Other secrets are foretelling of something to come that, again, is not necessarily told to everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So there was a purpose in that, and there are other purposes that God has. This mystery, again, is not the mystery that Paul reveals later on. It's a different mystery. It's a different secret. So there's lots of secrets that were told since the world began, but the prophets knew it. If they had understood it, they would have understood who Christ was. You know, it says that he'll come out of Bethlehem. Nobody ever asked him, you know, where were you born? It was Jesus of Nazareth. It wasn't Jesus of Bethlehem where he was born. It was where he lived and where he was raised. But for that matter, he lived a time in Egypt. It is Jesus of Egypt either. So as you go to another passage by Paul, Ephesians, and this is where Paul starts talking about the mystery. And understand that there's a difference here and see if you can pick it up. Chapter 1, verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So he only tells people for his good pleasure. And this mystery of his will, again, was for his pleasure, for his purpose, not necessarily for the whole world to understand. Verse 10, that in the dispensation, the stewardship, the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So when were we predestinated? If you look at Ephesians 1:4, it says that we were chosen in him. Now this is interesting, you have to look at this closely, before the foundation of the world. Israel was chosen after, since, or from the foundation of the world. But we who understand these secrets, especially the mystery, were chosen before the foundation, or before Genesis starts the timeline. And so it's interesting that, Israel, who was the chosen nation, you know, was chosen, you know, after Noah, after Abraham, etc. We were chosen before that. And if you don't get that, if you don't see that, you really need to study the difference between since and before and how important that is in understanding this word. Because it makes a huge difference in terms of what secrets were told and what secrets were hidden. And so the parables were hidden from man, but they were from the foundation. This information about this mystery, I mean, there was never revealed before that there would be, that Christ would be both in heaven and on earth. They were looking for a king on earth. Nothing about heaven was ever mentioned to them. And so that's a big differential. As you continue to go down to look at Ephesians chapter 3, we begin to see the mystery being revealed. And so I'm going to answer kind of two questions, but not necessarily in order. One of them is who was revealed the mystery, but the other end is a little bit about what the mystery is. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 says that, how that by revelation he made known unto me. That's Paul. Me. The mystery. As I wrote afore in few words. Well, when did he write that? Well, he wrote it in Ephesians 1. It's not what was written in Romans, as some people think. Verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now notice that this is a different mystery. We have the mystery, verse 3. Now, verse 4, we have the mystery of Christ. And so those are different. We'll try to show the differences to those as we go forward. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, because this was never revealed until now, and to Paul only. Then he goes on to say, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Okay, that was kind of revealed. The Israel would be a kingdom of priests to the Gentiles. But no wonder Paul's message was rejected by the scribes and Pharisees, because, you know, he was now saying Gentiles are equal with you. And that had to cause some real pain in their lives. Nathan would say they'd be pulling the hair out of their chin. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. I, Paul, was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. This is where I began. How do you make all men see the fellowship of the mystery? Well, you don't, because not everybody will have it revealed. Not everybody will have their eyes opened. Not everybody will do the work to search it out. He goes on to say, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. All right, so we were chosen before this mystery has been hidden from the beginning. In other words, it's never been revealed until now, until Paul reveals it. And then he goes on to say, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom. And so we have a church now, not a kingdom. And we'll find later that we have a head, not a king, in Christ. And we have a body, not a tribe or a family lineage. So, when was it revealed? Well, we know that it was not revealed from the beginning of the world, so it was never prophesied. In verse 19 of chapter 6, Paul goes on and says that he wants to speak boldly. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, why did Paul need to speak boldly? And why did Paul say that he was the least of all saints? Well, obviously it was because he persecuted the saints at one point in time, was actually consenting unto the death of Stephen, who was chosen by the 12 to go out and spread the good news. And Paul was there when he was stoned. And so we see that Paul felt obviously guilt about that, and that's why he called him the least of all saints. But he goes on to say that I need to speak boldly, and why is that? Well, we know that there was a persecution of Christians at that point in time by Rome, and yet he needed to be able to tell people. He needed to be able to reach out and tell everyone that Gentiles not were being grafted in any longer to the same hope of Israel, but that there was a new hope, and that there was a new inheritance, and that this mystery was now revealed to him. Note that prior to Ephesians, in Acts 28, verse 20, Paul says that he is the hope of Israel. And for the hope of Israel, I am bound with a chain. So through Acts, Paul has been continuing to go back to Israel. We're not going to go through all of that today. That will be the next time I teach. And again, as I said, we'll be on Pal Talk on Sunday, and I'll teach that portion. But I've given you the notes if you ask for this study that I can send it out to you. But in Colossians, Paul says that in his ministry or stewardship or dispensation, it is to fulfill the word of God by telling this mystery. Colossians 1:25, therefore, says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now, underlying that, but now is made manifest to his saints. Not before, not from the foundation, but now, at this point in time, Paul's the chosen minister to go out and tell people not only this mystery, but this truth, this secret that's never been revealed before. And he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what secret was given here? We knew that Christ was prophesied, so that's not a mystery. What's a mystery in this is that it's Christ in you, Christ among you, Christ part of you, not as a nation, but as an individual. And so in the past you had the nation, the chosen nation, Israel. They were to minister unto all the other nations. They failed at that. They kept it to themselves. They were to be separate, that was true, but they were also still supposed to be a holy priesthood, and they failed at that. And the hope they had was to be grafted into, as a proselyte, into the hope of Israel, which is what Paul mentions in Acts 28:20. So the secret here is that there is no longer a mediator between God and man except for Christ. It's not Israel as a mediator. It's not a high priest as Israel had. And so Caiaphas, being the high priest at that one time, at that point, was supposed to be speaking for God, but he wasn't, because he had his own agenda. And his own agenda was to appease the Romans, not to deal with who Christ really was and accept him for who he really was. So, with no mediator, the high priest would lose his position and his power. No wonder he wanted Christ crucified. Now we have a direct relationship through Christ to God. So no wonder everybody, and especially the Jews, would throw a fit. A secret being told, if it got out, that they didn't need the Jews any longer, well, then they lose their chosen status. There was no preference. You know, Christ was the high priest, even though he was rejected by Israel, even rejected in some cases as a prophet, but the Gentiles now would hear. And so when was this revealed? It was revealed in Acts 28:28. And if you go there now, it says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Remember, Christ told his disciples, hearing ye shall hear, seeing ye shall see, perceiving you shall perceive and understand. So here it's used again, the Gentiles will hear it. Now it's important that you understand that the salvation here is with a capital S. It's the same salvation that when Simeon comes in and sees Christ in the temple, when he's being circumcised, and he says, now can your servant die, because I have seen the salvation of God. It is not, I have got salvation, the verb. It is, I have seen the noun salvation, the salvation, Christ himself, the Savior, Christ himself. This was confirmed in 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, in controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on into the world, received up into glory. So some Gentiles did hear and will hear today. There is no longer Jew or Gentile. There's one creation or new creation and a new man. And so you see that there's something different even about that as well. This mystery is revealed and outlined in primarily Ephesians and Colossians. Now I said that when was it revealed? It was revealed in Acts 28. But how do we know that? Because we know that Peter went to a Gentile, Cornelius. We know that that we have Paul talking to Gentiles multiple times throughout Acts. So how do we know for sure that Acts 28:28 is the dividing line? Well, that's what you're going to have to wait until next time for. Because next time, as you can see from the notes if you've got them, I'm going to take you through the entire book of Acts written by Luke, who was a companion of Paul, and I'm going to take you chapter by chapter of Acts, show you what Paul did, who he was going to, and we're going to look at the context of every contact he had. And what did he tell them? And what did he tell them about? And that's the clues that you'll be able to get that will tell you exactly when this mystery was revealed. So I've just completed page, actually about half of the handout that I've given you. Next time, Sunday, when we speak again, if you're tuned in, if you ask for this by email, I'll be happy to send it out to you, but we'll cover it again. I may come back and do it on a Tuesday night at a later date. But I'm going to be traveling for the next 3 weeks, so I probably won't be able to do it again until then. So if you can, tune in on Sunday, and hopefully we'll be able to spend more time. By the way, I've not covered exactly all of what the mystery is. I've only given you a taste of it. There's a lot more to come, and it will be probably part three of the study that I do at some later date. Got a long way to go in this. It's not an easy subject. It's not an easy thing to respond to. But I wanted to be able to lay this out so that if someone asked you, well, why doesn't everybody get it? You know, why don't scholars understand this? Why didn't, Luther understand this? Why doesn't John MacArthur get it? Some of the great evangelists, why don't they understand it? Well, it's because it hasn't been revealed to them. And though they've got ears to hear with, and I know that some of those individuals have been approached about this, they have said couldn't possibly be true, and it's because they don't look at the chronology of Acts, and they don't look at when the books were written that Paul wrote prior to Acts 28 and after Acts 28. And when you look at that as a dividing line, everything becomes very, 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 very clear. With that, I'm going to a word of prayer, and we'll adjourn again at another time. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for blessing us, giving us ears to hear with, Lord, and understanding, giving us a heart that discerns the differences and wants to know you, wants to see the differences, chooses to be guided by the Holy Spirit instead of rejecting truth that's given to us, and testing truth, making sure that it is in fact your will and your way and your truth. Lord, we are grateful for your love for all those that are listening, for all those that could not be listening tonight. We ask for safety and protection, your love upon them, and that you would allow them to wear that crown of righteousness that we all have through Christ Jesus, our Lord, God, and Savior. And we pray this in his blessed name. Amen.